What we're going to share this weekend is not different than what we've shared many, many times before. I know my heart. I've come to see the Lord, and I trust that's why you're here, to see the Lord. And I hope maybe we get understanding on a few things. But Proverbs 9:10 says, the knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. So we don't need understanding. We need the knowledge of the Holy One. The knowledge of the Holy One is understanding. As we come to study God's Word, I remind my heart, and I remind you again, that there is only one indispensable principle of life and Bible study. That is total reliance upon God's Holy Spirit. And I know your heart. You've come and you're trusting the Lord. So let's bow in prayer and just commit our time to Him, knowing that only God can reveal God. He delights to do it. Let's pray. Father, once again, we thank You for the privilege we have to be here. Thank You for working things out and engineering the way so that we could all arrive. And now by Your grace, we would ask for a miracle that You would completely detach us from all of those concerns and cares, even legitimate concerns, so that we might focus as never before upon the Lord Jesus this weekend. We do commit this session and this season of getting away unto You. We thank You that You long to reveal Yourself more than any heart desires to see You. And so we wait upon You now, and we thank You for Your Word, every part of it. And we ask now Your Holy Spirit to put the light on the Lord Jesus. And since we have different hungers and capacities, we pray that each of us might be able to walk in the light of Christ that You propose to us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, again, I say I'm so thankful to be here, and we expect the faithful God to do for us again what He's done so many, many years in a row. He's been pleased to visit us. He's been pleased to touch our hearts. And so once again, we come and we want to focus on Him. This morning, as an introduction to what is on my heart, let me just sort of break it down, tell you where I'm coming from and the burden that's on my heart to share. And then hopefully I'll be able to lay that before you, if not completely tonight, maybe, or this morning, throughout the weekend. This series was suggested to my heart when I was studying the book of Isaiah. And I came to Isaiah 42, 18 and 19. And I was stopped at that passage. It's a strange passage. And the Lord arrested my heart, and as I began to meditate on it, I'll take you through a few of those meditations. But you'll be able to see, Lord willing, exactly what is on my heart to share. Isaiah 42, 18 and 19. Hear, you deaf, and look, you blind, that you may see. Who is blind but my servant, or so deaf as the messenger whom I send? Who is so blind as he that is at peace with me, or so blind as the servant of the Lord? I say that's a strange passage, because I would expect it to be the opposite. If you're not at peace with Him, if you're not His messenger, if you're not His servant, then He would say, how blind you are. But here, The thing that struck my heart so profoundly was that God seemed grieved about this blindness, a special blindness, a blindness that was on his servant. Who is as blind as my servant? Who's as blind as my messenger? Who is so blind as he who is at peace with me? And that was grieving the heart of God in the context of Isaiah. Again, it's not the blindness of just anybody, but a special blindness was touching the heart of God. A blindness on his kids, on his children, on those who had set themselves to serve the Lord, his messengers, those at peace with him. And so, though I didn't understand the passage at the time, I thought, I think the Lord wants me to meditate on this. What in the world is he talking about? And so I began culling the scriptures. And you know how you do it. You look up in a concordance and sight and eyes and blind, and you begin to go through all the scripture. Well, of course, I was shocked at the size of the topic. You start looking at eyesight and blindness and all, and you're everywhere. Of course, there's the blindness of the unbeliever. If you're here today and you don't know personally the Lord Jesus Christ, God says you're blind. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who's the image of God. There's a blindness for the unbeliever. But that's not the blindness Isaiah said God was grieving over. You know that all through the Bible you see the blindness of the unbeliever and blind teachers. Matthew 23, remember those 8 woes that our Lord Jesus gave. 23:16, woe to you blind guides. 23:17, you fools and blind men. 23:19, you blind men. 23:24, you blind guides. 23:26, you blind Pharisees. The religious leaders were blind. But that's not the blindness Isaiah is talking about. The blind guides and the blind fools and the blind men, the blind Pharisees, the blind hypocrites, the blind teachers. God's burden here seems to be for blind Christians, blind servants. We're not going to look at the blindness of the unbeliever primarily. And we're not even going to focus on the different causes of blindness. When I went through the scriptures, I saw many different causes for blindness, hardness of heart and an unrepenting spirit and unbelief and so on. Listen to these verses from Joshua 23. Take diligent heed to yourselves to love the Lord your God. If you ever go back and begin to cling to the nations and intermarry with them and associate with them and they with you, know with certainty that the Lord your God will not continue to drive out these nations before you. But the enemy will become a snare to you, a trap to you, whips on your sides and thorns in your eyes. Well, that's blindness, when the enemy becomes a thorn in your eye. And so there are those, and I hope not here, but there are those who have left their first love and have rebelled against the Lord and have turned aside and become hard, and there's a blindness that comes to them. But I don't believe that's the blindness that God is referring to in Isaiah. Who's as blind as my servant? Who's as blind as my messenger? Who's as blind as the one who's at peace within? And then as I continued to study blindness, I saw another whole section on blindness, judicial blindness, where God strikes people blind because he's dealing with them. I think that's what he did to those Sodomites when they tried to find the door. Remember, there was a blindness put on them. And the Assyrian army in the days of Elisha, I think the Lord caused the blindness to come on them. And in the New Testament, Elymas was struck blind and so on. Samson went blind as a judicial blindness. And King Zedekiah, his eyes were put out and so on. So there's a lot of blindness in the Bible. But as I meditated on this, that special blindness on Christians, God began to open my heart, and I'm not saying that I've got it all. I don't. But I began to see, as I have never seen before, why God's heart was so burdened by the blindness of his messenger and the blindness of his servant and the blindness of those who were at peace with him. I'll just tell you right up front what it is, and then we'll try to develop it for five sessions. Because God delights in his Son. God's soul delights in the Lord Jesus. As we go through, I think that'll become more and more clear. The blindness that most grieves the heart of God is the blindness that comes to those who are not looking to his Son. It's a terrible possibility that we can hurt the heart of God by this particular blindness. God has delighted in his Son. He delights in the Lord Jesus. And he has so purposed that he would give spiritual sight on all spiritual issues to anyone that would fix their eyes on Christ. That was his plan. He so delighted in his Son, he said, I've put everything in my Son. If you look to my Son, I will open all the doors and you will have light on everything. But if you won't look to my Son, you will have darkness. You will not have light on anything. There is not one spirituality, one spiritual truth that we can get if our eyes are not fixed on Jesus. And so basically that's what we want to look at. Since God has provided the simplest way, the dumbest among us can get this. We can look to Jesus. And if we look to Christ, our eyes are open. If we're not looking to Christ, we're blind. And God's heart is broken. That's what we want to look at. The blindness that comes from not seeing him. You realize this? It's possible to love the Bible and love the will of God and love God's people and love the church and not look to Jesus. And if you're not looking to Christ, if our eyes aren't fixed on him, we see nothing. Now, I know there are other parts in this athletic contest, running the race set before us. But none's more cardinal, none's more fundamental. You've heard it over and over and over again. May God make us alive to it again. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, seeing we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us lay aside every encumbrance, the sin which so easily entangles us. Let us run with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You know, in the New Testament, that's what so shocked the Apostle Paul when even Barnabas was carried away with the dissimulation, took his eyes off the Lord. I believe Satan has more of a victory if he can get you to take your eyes off Jesus than leading you into some immorality. How we need to see Jesus, and when we don't. Since God has put everything in His Son, since He said, "This is my beloved Son, I delight in Him, I want you to look to Him, I'll open every door for you, I'll give you every vision, if you go through Him. If you don't, who's as blind as my servant? Who's as blind as my messenger? Who is so blind as he that's at peace with me?" There's a great blindness among God's people. I'm not talking about the blindness that comes from rebellion and going against the Lord, or the blindness that comes from God's judicial dealings with us. That's also true. That's a subject all its own. But there is a blindness that has fallen on the choice messengers of the Lord, on the servants of the Lord. The opposite of death is life. The opposite of light is darkness. There's no in between. John 1:12, this is our key verse. Jesus again spoke to them saying, "I'm the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I love that expression, that title, the light of life. Because if we don't have the light, it's death. That's the opposite. If my eyes are not on Christ, my Christian life is dead. If my eyes are on Christ, I live. So simple. Well, with that as an introduction, let me try to get this theme before you. I'm going to ask you to turn or follow along in Luke chapter 11, please. We have here a powerful illustration of what I'm trying to communicate. Luke 11, beginning at verse 34. "The eye is the lamp of your body. When your eye is clear, your whole body is also full of light. When it's bad, your body is full of darkness. Then watch out that the light in you is not darkness. If therefore your whole body's full of light with no dark part in it, it will be wholly illumined as when the lamp illumines you with its rays." Now in the full context here of Luke 11, he's talking about shining as a testimony. And if I'm ever going to let the light shine, then first I must have the light shine on me. And the light, of course, is not a message. It's a person. It's the Lord Jesus himself. Now look how powerful the illustration is. Before I go back to the point, let me try to develop this illustration. He says your eye, your physical eye, is the lamp of your body. And I think what he means by that is that my foot does not have an eye. My foot can't see. And so if I'm walking along and the lamp's not on, if I can't see, since my foot doesn't have an eye, I can stumble over a brick or I can fall in a hole. But my eye says to my foot, "Watch out, there's a brick. Watch out, there's a stick. Watch out, there's a trap, there's a snare, there's a hole." And so the eye is the lamp of the body. There's no other part of my body has an eye. My hand doesn't have an eye. It's going to bump into stuff unless my eye is healthy. And my eyes are not all that healthy, which is why recently I ran over a curbstone that looked exactly like the driveway. because my eye wasn't healthy. If your eye is healthy, according to this illustration, your whole body is full of light. But if your eye is not healthy, your whole body is full of darkness. You see the point? If my eye spiritually is on Jesus, my whole body is full of light. If it's not, and this is the hard part to understand and to believe, it takes a miracle to believe this. You say something as innocent as I took my eyes off Jesus, I am closed to all spiritual truth. If my eyes are not on Christ, I'm blind to everything. My whole body's full of darkness. Exactly so. And that's why God's heart was so grieved. How he loves his son. And he said, I've made it so easy. Just look to Jesus and you'll see everything. If you don't look to him, you see nothing. You see nothing. And God's heart is grieved. Psalm 25:14, I love. The secret of the Lord is for those who fear him. He'll make them know his covenant. My eyes are continually on the Lord. He will deliver my feet out of the net. And some people's eyes are always on their feet. You know, they're just saying, which way should I go? What path should I take? Who should I marry? What job should I take? How's he going to lead me? You're always watching your step. Watch your step. And some people's eyes, they're always on the net. And they're saying, oh boy, we got to watch out. The enemy, he's around. We got to watch out for the snares. And what are the pitfalls? And what are the dangers? David got it right. My eyes are continually on the Lord. He'll pluck my feet out of the net. I don't have to worry about my feet, and I don't have to worry about the net if my eyes are continually on the Lord. And so that's what we're about this weekend. My eye is healthy when I'm looking to Christ. When I'm not, it's all darkness. By the way, that's also a corporate truth. What's true of the individual is always true of the body. And what's true of the body is always true of the individual. If the corporate eye is on Christ, the whole body is full of light. If the corporate eye is not on Christ, the whole body is full of darkness. Oh, how we need to see Christ individually and corporately. All right, so here's the introductory principle. If I'm looking to Christ, I see everything. If I'm not, I see nothing. In my heart, to be honest with you, I wish there was a gray. I wish there was an in-between. I wish there was a twilight, a mixture. Because in my life, very often, I take my eyes off Christ. And I don't want to believe in that moment I've gone blind. I want to think I still got a few things right, even though I've taken my eyes off the Lord. But there's no in-between. If I'm seeing Jesus, I'm seeing everything. If I'm not seeing Jesus, may God help us see this. I'm seeing nothing. Matthew 6:23 says, if then that light that's in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? How great is that darkness? Luke 11:35, watch out that the light that's in you is not darkness. I don't want you to answer this out loud, but in your heart before God, you come to this weekend again, and are you looking to Jesus this moment? You're a messenger of the Lord. You're a servant of the Lord. You're at peace with him. Things are right. If you're not looking to Christ, you're blind. May God help us this weekend, because we're going to look at this the entire weekend. No matter how grounded you are in theology, no matter how many times you've read through the Bible, no matter how many verses you've memorized, no matter how involved you are in the work of the Lord, if you're not seeing Jesus, you are automatically closed to all spiritual reality. May God help us on this. You know, the Apostle Paul understood this. And I'm going to actually ask you to turn to this passage, please. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, and you're very familiar with it, I know. I'm not giving you anything you haven't heard before. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 13. For this reason, I too, having heard of the faith in the Lord Jesus, which exists among you, and your love for all the saints, do not cease giving thanks for you while making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, so that you would know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, what is the surpassing greatness of the power toward us who believe. Those are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead, seated him at his right hand in heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that's named, not only in this age, but also in the one to come. And he has put all things in subjection under his feet and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Once again, look back at the passage. At this point in their Christian experience, these Ephesians are doing well. They're not backsliding. Now, in another occasion, they're going to lose their first love and they're going to need another epistle. But at this point, verse 13 says, they're trusting the Lord and they're loving one another. They're doing super. How do you pray for Christians that are doing well? You see, Paul knew that they were right with God and right with man. And so he begins to pray. And since he knows the principle, if you see Jesus, everything is clear. If you don't see Jesus, you see nothing. He understood that principle. And so he begins to pray. He knows what they need. They need eyesight. They need vision. They need a revelation. They need to see the Lord Jesus. And so he prays in 17 and 18 that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give us spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. I pray that the eyes of your heart be enlightened. He prayed that they would see Jesus. There's no question what he prayed for, but then he tells you why. He says in verse 18, I pray this so that you will know. And he begins to list what they will know if they have a revelation of Christ. And he mentions three things there. In verse 18, he says, I'm praying that you see Jesus so you know the hope of your calling. And then in verse 18, he says, I'm praying that you see Jesus so you know what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And he says, I'm praying that you see Jesus so you would know the power that is available toward all of you who believe, the resources that I've provided so that you can live a victorious Christian life. Implied in that prayer is, if you don't have a revelation, if you're not seeing Jesus, you cannot know the hope of your calling. And you cannot know the riches of His inheritance in the saints. And you cannot know the great resources which He has put at your disposal in order that you might live a victorious Christian life. Now, without getting lost in theology, let me try in the simplest words I know how to. What does that mean? What is the hope of your calling? Can't know it unless you're seeing Jesus, but what is it? And what's the riches, the great riches of His inheritance in the saints? And what's the power available to us who believe? Well, the theologians tell us that that word can be, the hope of calling can be one of two things. It can either be the thing hoped for, or it can be the hope itself, that my hope is that God will do something like that. Either way, the point is the same. God has called you to Christ, true? And because He's called you to Christ, everything you've ever hoped for, because you're a Christian, that's the hope of your calling. Everything you can ever hope for as a Christian, everything He's ever promised, it's all in His Son. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare His own Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how will He not with Him give us all things? Thank you, Lex. Exactly right. Ephesians 1:3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. 1 Corinthians 3:21. So then, let no one boast in men. All things belong to you. Whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all belongs to you. And you belong to Christ, and Christ belongs to God. Don't miss this. With Him, He freely gives all things. Not almost all things, not pretty nearly all things. All things. And He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Not most spiritual blessings, not pretty nearly all spiritual blessings, but every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. And all things belong to you. Not most things, not pretty nearly everything, but all things belong to you in Christ Jesus. Life and death, and Christians, and the past, and the present, and the future, and everything. God belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. 2 Peter 1:3, seeing His divine power has granted to us everything that pertains to life and godliness. By these He's granted to us precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partakers of the divine nature. How many promises in this book? Who knows? And every command is a promise, because He's promised to give you what He's... So add all the commands, all the promises. That's your inheritance. Everything He's called you to. And He says, if your eyes are not on Christ, you can't begin to know who you are or what you have in Christ. He says you're blind to that. All things, everything, everything. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. You can't have joy, you can't have peace. How important it is to keep our eyes on Christ. We just always say it, look to the Lord, fix your eyes on Christ. If you're not seeing Christ, your whole body's full of darkness. If you're not seeing Christ, you're blind to all the things He's called you to. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Can't even begin to know the union with Christ. Well, it's bad enough that we can't see our own inheritance. But look at verse 18. The riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints. You notice the change in the words? This isn't your inheritance in Him. This is His inheritance in you. You're a Christian. What's that mean to Him? You'll never know how much He loves you. You'll never know how much He cares. I go around telling people the Lord delights in you. The Lord delights in you. You'll never know how much He delights in you. And that breaks His heart. He wants you so much to know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. But He said, I can't give it unless you look to My Son. That's the only way you're going to get it. And if you don't get it that way, you can't get it. You're blind. And that grieves His heart. He says, oh, who's as blind as My servant? Who's as blind as My messenger? Who's as blind as the one at peace with Me? Born again, child of God, name written in heaven, sins forgiven. He's blind because I put all this stuff in My Son. Psalm 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, whose people the Lord has chosen as His inheritance. Deuteronomy 32:9, the Lord's portion is His people. Yes, He's your portion, but you're also His portion. A chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a people of His own possession. It's only as I look to Christ I can know My inheritance. It's only as I look to Christ I can know His inheritance in me. And then this last thing, verse 19, that you might know the surpassing greatness of the power toward believers. God has provided for every Christian to live an abundant life. What if you're blind to that? And I don't think you can have a more powerful illustration. In order for Him to describe the power that's at your disposal to live a Christian life in the strength of His might, He said, it's the same power that I used when I raised Jesus from the dead. And when He ascended up into heaven, beyond all rule and all authority and all power and all dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but the age to come. And He's put everything in subjection under Him. What power did it take to raise Him from the dead and seat Him at God's right hand? He says, that's the power that's available to you to deliver you from internet pornography. And that's the same power that's available to you to deliver you from any addiction or from pride or from self or from envy or from anger or from an unforgiving spirit or for impatience or all that is necessary to live a victorious life. You'll never see unless you look to Jesus. I'll never see unless I look to the Lord Jesus. Now those who are not looking to Christ, and I'm going to make this very personal myself. When I take my eyes off Jesus, I got to believe now, He said I can't know the hope of my calling. I say, after all I've studied, I've been saved since 1958. You tell me I'm going blind to all that? I can't know how much He delights in me. I can't know how to live the Christian life. You see, when I'm not looking to Christ, I got a problem because I still got to study the Bible. And I still got to study who I am in Christ. But as soon as my eyes are off Christ, I slip into darkness, and now all I have is theology. And all I have are programs. And all I have are my ideas now. All right, let me tell you who you are in Christ. And then I get into studying this and studying that and trying to put it all together. But I can't. I can't. I always get it wrong. I don't know. I can't know if my eyes are not on Christ. The only way we'll ever know is with our eyes on Christ. You see, God loves His Son so much that He determined He would never let you have any spiritual truth apart from looking at His darling, from looking at Christ. He's made it so easy because some of us are so dumb that that's all. How am I going to learn how to live the Christian life? He says, just look to Jesus. And when you look to Christ, your eyes are opened, and all of a sudden you know who you are in Christ and what you have in Christ. Every promise, you understand it. And as soon as you look to Christ, you understand how much He loves you, how much He cares, how patient He is with you, how He delights in you. And when you look in Christ, it's not just theology, it works. I can have victory over sin and over the flesh. Without looking to Christ, you never get it right. You know, I feel sorry for, I get some emails and people sometimes ask my advice. I feel sorry for them if in that moment I'm not looking to Christ. Because the advice I give them is dead wrong. Even though I'm trying to be right. I'm trying to be sincere. I don't want to lead them wrong. But if my eyes are not on Christ, I'm going to lead them into a hole. I'm going to lead them into a snare. How this series has driven me to Christ, not only for my own sake and my family's sake, but for those that I ever address and talk to. Because no matter how much I love the Lord, I'm going to get them now into, all right, now you got to just go after God's will or go after a gift or go after another blessing. I'm going to be giving them my advice. I'm going to tell them to try to find God's will and make sure you know who you're supposed to marry and where you're supposed to go and what job you're supposed to have and where you're supposed to live and how you're supposed. I'm going to give them things to do. I'm going to give them stuff. I'm going to give them theology. And they're going to go out with a mind full of theology. And I've led them in darkness. I need to look to Christ. Because when my eyes are on Christ, my whole body's full of light. When my eyes are not on Christ, my whole body is full of darkness. And God's heart is broken. Who's as blind as my servant? Who's as blind as my messenger? The one at peace with me. I've put everything in my Son because I love my Son. I delight in my Son. This is my Son in whom I have pleasure. I've put everything in Him. Look to Him and you'll have everything. Everything's hidden in Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. How dumb we are if we think we can find it any other place. It's no place else. We need to continually have our eyes on the Lord. We need God to do that, because if we don't, no matter how much we study it, we will not know who we are in Christ or what we have. We will not know God's glory, the riches of His glory, of His inheritance in you. You'll never know how much He loves you. You'll never know how much He delights in you. Until you look to Jesus. And when you look to Jesus, all the lights come on. When you look to Jesus, everything with Him is freely given. When you look to Jesus, everything belongs to you. Life and death. What a thing to put in the list. Death belongs to you. Sure it does. Everything belongs to me when my eyes are on Christ. When they're not on Christ, I see nothing, and I pity those who come to me for counsel, because I can't lead them right. I can't tell them, no matter how much I've studied, I can't tell them the truth. Well, that's the theme that's on my heart, that by seeing Christ, we see everything, and by not seeing Christ, we see nothing. We don't want just academics. We don't want just theology. We don't want all the theories. How can I have a victorious life, and how can I see where I am seated in Christ, and all words. We don't want that. We want life. And he says, if your eyes are on Christ, your whole body is full of life. Some years ago, I went to a meeting, and there was a blind evangelist. He called himself the Blind Whistler. Anybody ever hear of Fred Lowery? You ever hear the name? You haven't. Many years ago. In fact, I got a couple of records by him. Boy, he could whistle. He would whistle gospel tunes. But he stood up and he gave us a testimony. And he says, I wasn't blind all my life. I was almost 7 years old when I became blind. So he said, I remember seeing. I remember what it was like. It's all memory. And he said, what I want you to do is everybody, if you have glasses, take them off. Take your palms of your hand and put them over your eyes. What do you see? And then he said, I'll tell you, because I remember. You see black. That's what you see. I remember black. Now I'm blind. I don't see black anymore. I see nothing. I don't know what he meant by that. I don't see black. I see nothing. And I tell you, if you're not looking to Christ, you don't see black. You see nothing. Not looking to Jesus is not just a little flaw. It's not just a little mistake. It's not something you say, I need a little adjustment. I'm all right on missions. I'm all right on stewardship. I'm all right on body life. I'm all right on the Holy Spirit. I've understood that. I just don't really have my eyes on Jesus. Then you're not seeing black. You're seeing nothing. You're seeing nothing. And that blindness breaks the heart of Christ. You might be still having your quiet time and going through the rituals. May God help us. This is what we want to look at the whole weekend. Let me show you how I'd like to develop it. Since everything depends on our seeing Christ or going blind, what I'd like to do in the next session, I'd like to show, since it's so important to see Christ, how can I see Him? How can I see Christ? That's what we'd like to look at, Lord willing, this evening. And then since it's so important to see Christ, then I'd like to take that one step further and say, how many times is God going to reveal Christ to me? I'd like to look at that. And then, Lord willing, in the next lesson, since we're seeing Christ and God is revealing Christ, what is that going to mean in my life? And then finally, we started with God's great grief. I want to end with God's great joy. What it means to Him if we really, not just in word, if we really leave this place running with endurance the race set before us, fixing our eyes on Christ. May God help us. Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your word. We want to spare You from the grief that is in Your heart when You look at those who are at peace with You, those You call Your servants, Your messengers, Your children, who've become blind for no other reason. And they've taken their eyes off the Lord Jesus. Oh, save us from this blindness. May we minister to Your heart by ever looking to our Lord Jesus in a way that has not been ours before. This weekend, we pray that you would teach us by your Spirit all that it means to keep our eyes on Christ. We ask in Jesus' name.